This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9. My name is Rich Bradbury, joined by
Christine Wong.
And Arvind Yuvaraj.
It is Fun Friday, of course. Some interesting stories lined up for you today, including how some of the military forces around the world are adopting what looks like a Boba Fett helmet. We'll then be moving on to a salt shaker that we all want to buy. Speaking of salt, we're talking about the MRT and some of the comments on their Facebook page. And
some
of course,
salty comments.
Salty comments there. Interesting stuff, though. And then this thing called Bingo Box, which is a mobile convenience store.
It is.
We're going to be finishing up with LinkedIn and how they are changing the way in which you can interact with potential mentors.
Okay.
So this first story, I know Jeff was extremely excited about it. Sadly, he can't be here on the show with us today. But it's about how some of these special forces are going to be using what looks like a Boba Fett face helmet, right? Not only does it look like Boba Fett, but if you've ever played Fallout, it looks like one of the helmets from Fallout. Now, it's a bulletproof helmet. And the SAS are going to be using it in the UK, and it is. It also contains heat-seeking technology to hunt down your enemies, picks up signals from other people through friend or foe vision, is air-conditioned to protect against heat and gases, has a GPS thing built inside, and has super-strong plates that can deflect gunshots and protect against shrapnel, blasts, and fire. Created by this company called DevTech, this thing is called the Ronin Kevlar Level 3A Tactical Ballistic Helmet. It's literally bulletproof.
Wow.
And it looks super cool.
Yeah, yes. It does. The pictures, yeah.
I mean, so, go on, Chrissy.
Yeah, this is like a combination of Boba Fett and Iron Man and everything all in one
cool-looking
package.
I mean, for years, the defense industry have been trying to create something that is fully face covering. I mean, you've seen a lot of the SAS and the special forces. They use helmets and wear glasses and balaclavas and whatnot. But there's nothing that's been a kind of fully faced one. And for a number of reasons. One, it gets super hot. Two, you have to wear some kind of ballistic glasses most of the time. This thing has it all built in and an air conditioning unit to boot. You know, sign me up. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. So this DevTech, the company that you mentioned, it's a Japanese company.
That's the thing, right? Yeah. They're registered in Japan, but the main developer and builder is American.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it says, like on their site, it says that they make helmets and ballistic protection products and devices.
Yes.
I checked some of it out. It lets you like custom build your own helmet.
Yeah.
It looks pretty nice.
You can have a full-on American flag on your face helmet if that's what you wanted. Yeah.
Yeah. It, it doesn't say how much it is per helmet, but I'm guessing it's like super expensive. But what I like is the site looks like something from a video game, like one of those PS2 loading screen animations.
Where you know? Customize your character.
Yeah. With like nice sound effects and stuff. It looks like something that paintballers would love to order from.
It's funny you say that.
Yeah.
Because there are other versions of this helmet. Let's say versions that you could buy on AliExpress that are exactly the same, just made out of plastic for the paintballers out there.
Okay, and they don't protect you against anything.
There's no air conditioning, GPS.
No air conditioning, no GPS. Just a plastic helmet that looks the same.
Okay.
Okay. You were mentioning that you also saw a video where it's like it's fired at point blank.
Yeah.
And nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
Oh, wow.
They put it on a melon, obviously, and then they shot at it at point blank range with a Magnum 44. And all that happened is that some of the paint flaked off. There was no indentations on the inside.
Wow.
I mean, that literally life saving that would be. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it would probably knock you off your feet and you'd probably have a concussion, but you'd be alive.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, getting shot in the head is a major problem if you're in the military.
It is.
Yeah.
What if they? I mean, war aside, like doing this on the field and stuff. But what if they use this for helmets? For if you're on a bike,
bike helmets and whatnot. Yeah.
Or even when you're in a car, you're in a collision, an accident, but you're wearing this helmet. How much can it protect you? Like
a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're actually looking at using this for police forces or something very similar for police forces, particularly in the US as well, which is all terrifying because the reason that you can trust policemen is that you see their face. You know what
That's
they're
true.
Doing. You know what they're looking at.
Yeah.
And somebody whose face is fully enclosed would be intimidating, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know how I'd
unless
like...
Unless the front portion of it can lift up like the Iron Man helmet.
Right.
Oh, then that's right. Okay. Then that makes sense.
Right.
But I mean, I guess if you're like a police officer and then you're supposed to look a bit frightening, especially if you're chasing after criminals and stuff.
If you're chasing after criminals, yes. If you're reporting a stolen bike, I want a friendly face.
Yeah. And but also for the families of the police officers, every time they leave the house, they have to be worried about their safety and stuff.
Absolutely.
It would make them feel safer if, you know, their loved ones are like wearing this,
Kevlar.
This thing. Kevlar.
It weighs 4.9 pounds as well, so it's not the lightest of things.
Mm.
But it has like the where the lenses go in, you can customize your lenses as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you can have prescription lenses.
Oh, yay! Finally, something for us who have to wear glasses.
So they've thought of everything pretty much. Getting shot in the head, check. You know, prescription lenses, check. Air conditioning, done. GPS, done. You know.
Which means, I mean, don't you have to have like proper vision to get into the army and
nope,
to get
not
into
anymore.
Not anymore.
Okay.
Right, we better move on. We've had a bit of fun with some Kevlar helmets. What are we talking about? Oh, yes, this salt shaker.
Yeah.
Oh, my. First of all, why the heck are we speaking about a salt shaker?
What? We're speaking about the salt shaker because it's not just any old salt shaker. Someone is selling a smart salt shaker for $200.
I don't even... That sentence shouldn't exist,
It
right?
shouldn't, no, but this is the whole story, right? There's currently an Indiegogo campaign to raise money for a smart salt shaker that is called... Wait for it. The Smalt. S-M-A-L-T,
they got super creative.
As
right.
in smart salt. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the salt shaker will retail for $200, and as of right now, as of our reporting, there are 52 people who have backed it, and it's reached 33% of its crowdfunding goal of $25,000 with a month left to go. So, you can control this device by pressing buttons on it, but it also has an app that's supported by iOS and Android, and you can even connect it to Amazon Echo to get Alexa to dispense salt.
Why do I need an app to be attached to a salt shaker? First
the idea behind this is that the main feature of the Smalt is to actually measure your salt intake, so you can control the amount of salt that's dispensed at any given time from any quantity, from a pinch to a tablespoon, and the amount of sodium that's dispensed then gets logged. And you can actually track each family member's consumption separately as well, which is, you know, kind of, you know, you can see there's a rough practical use to that. But what is ludicrous about the Smalt is that it can also, and I can't believe I'm saying this, play music via Bluetooth, provide multicolored mood lighting, runs on rechargeable batteries with a 4-hour battery life, and these extra features and the salt tracker feature, which is the main health, you know, benefit of the device, aren't even accessible unless you have the app.
Okay, so... My concern with this is that we've seen so many of these crowdfunded products,
mm-hmm.
and some of them are incredible. You know, without crowdfunding, they wouldn't have got off the ground, and we wouldn't have seen them. Something like this, though, makes me question the whole idea of crowdfunding, because this guy has spent a lot of money on his marketing, right?
Yeah, yeah. So the founder of this concept is a man called Bipan Singh, who lives in Los Angeles, and he has more than 20 years of marketing and commercial operations experience.
Oh, dear.
If you visit their Indiegogo page, it looks really good. Like the graphics are nice, the concept's really well explained. They've got a Facebook page, a Twitter, they even have their own website, and there's so much love that's been put into this project. But also, it's a salt shaker.
Yeah.
Surely you can control the amount of salt just by shaking the salt shaker to the amount that you want, right? The kind of a concept behind this, though, is that 1 in 3 Americans have high blood pressure, mm-hmm. and also most Americans will consume double the amount of salt that is actually recommended by, you know, the health organizations of America. So there is a good intention behind this, but I don't think you need all the extra stuff. The way that it's being marketed is it's meant to be the world's first interactive centerpiece and smart salt dispenser, but there's one feature out of all these features that it doesn't have. You can't use it to grind salt. So if you use anything but table salt or anything else that is finely grated, it will not work.
This just seems ridiculous, Arvind.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like one of the biggest no-brainers in the world, like a salt shaker. It's supposed to be like the simplest thing that you can use. So I don't know why they're trying to complicate it with all these like app connections and stuff. I don't look for like Marvin Gaye in the background, you know, when I'm trying to put salt on the thing. I don't need mood lighting.
You know, you're playing Let's Get It On while you're shaking.
No, 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 no. Oh, no, no.
The show has taken a turn.
I mean, even the description on the Indiegogo page says stuff like a. You can actually also shake, pinch, or choose the measurement of salt you desire right from your phone. So if you shake your phone, the salt comes out in the dispenser.
Mm.
But the description says, dance to the beat and shake your salt out to amuse your guests or rock out on your own.
So this is essentially for people who have too much money but are also concerned about consuming too much salt.
Yes.
Yeah,
and if you want to get in on the super early bird special, you'll get it for only $99.
Oh, dear.
I mean, you know, if I can see it working if it's synced up to like a pressure monitor or something.
Yeah.
Some people have high blood pressure. Then mm-hmm. you have an app that tracks how much of salt you take in a day.
Yeah.
So you put in all that and then the app like manages your salt intake. It syncs to the salt shaker, the smalt, and
yes.
then the smalt sort of blocks it or warns you if you're going overboard. That's
yeah.
the only way I can see this working as like a health device.
Where I'm at, yeah, I mean, it could connect to an app like MyFitnessPal or something. That would be, instead of just creating an app and mood
lighting. But even
and
then,
stuff.
It's not keeping track of how much salt you're actually having in your diet. This is just additional salt.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, so
yeah.
it's not really helpful in that
well,
regard either.
You
anyway,
tried.
Folks, do let us know if you would purchase the smalt, the salt shaker that can sing to you and play you really nice lighting effects yep. on one thing or other. It costs $199 once it's launched, but currently at a launch price of $99. Get in touch via Twitter. We're at BFM Radio. Or get us on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. In the meantime, we're going to have some music from The Strokes. It is Barely Legal on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Before Friday materializes, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes on this Friday, the 4th of August. My name is Rich Bradbury.
Arvind Yuvaraj.
And Christine Wong.
So we started off with a story about a Star Wars helmet that mm-hmm. some of the militaries around the world are adopting. And then we moved on to a pointless salt shaker that will cost you $199 once it's finally launched.
Yep.
But it does have Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm, it does.
And it does have a speaker.
It's also not even coming until March 2018.
Oh,
so.
My word.
Oh, wow.
By that time, they may have just decided to add a matching pepper.
Hopefully.
Right. So this story that we're going to touch on now, some of you may have read about it. You may have seen it kind of circulating on your Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how RapidKL have started using the Annabelle doll
yeah.
as a campaign to promote good behavior on the MRT.
Yeah. So since we're on this weird train of stories.
You did that.
Yeah, I did. So, so just keeping with that, RapidKL has done something super weird with their marketing thing. I don't know if it's tied to like the studios because Annabelle is going to come out. The second Annabelle is going to come out next week. So what they've done is...
Is it?
Yeah, it's next week.
I didn't know
it's
that. Didn't
August,
know that.
August 9th,
right,
I think.
Okay.
So next Thursday, Wednesday. So what they've done is they've started putting the Annabelle doll in their train stations. They've started putting it in their trains.
Just for people at home mm-hmm. who don't know what the Annabelle doll is.
Okay, so based on the movies, the Annabelle doll is supposedly a haunted doll. Apparently there's like a demon in the doll and it's a very frightening, very creepy looking doll. You know, if you're on any of the highways, you would have seen the billboards and stuff.
Right.
I think she first showed up in the Conjuring movies.
Okay.
Yeah, so... what they've done is they posted this on Facebook. They said, "Dear valued customers, lately we've been receiving surprise visits from Annabelle. Mind your manners while you're on the trains or she will haunt you forever."
Okay.
Yeah, and then they place these dolls in their stations. She shows up on the ticketing machines, and then sometimes she shows up in the trains itself.
Guys, I thought this was supposed to be Fun Friday, not Frightening Friday.
Well, you know, it's
if you look at some of the hashtags that are going along with this campaign, though, the hashtags are Annabelle is near, hashtag citizens with manners wanted. Now, that is where we kind of diverge on this story,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there's a bit more to this story, and what I mean by this is, you know, RapidKL have had some interesting interactions with people upon their Facebook.
Yes.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, so if you've been seeing their Facebook page, their new admin, I think there's a new admin there, they've been taking pictures of people who don't abide by their rules.
Right.
So if you eat on their trains or if you take up the seats with your plastic bags, or there's this one guy who's doing pull-ups using the... on the train.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like those overhead handles.
Yeah.
So he's doing pull-ups in the train. I don't know why, or I don't know if it's because he cannot afford to go to the gym. So these guys, they take pictures of them and then they put them on their Facebook page and then the admin sort of captions it. Some people captions it.
Yep, with sometimes, a nice little poem.
Yeah, sometimes
you know?
It's a poem. Sometimes it's just calling them out. Sometimes it's saying that you shouldn't eat or drink or do any of these things on the train. The good thing is, some people have said that this is public shaming,
right.
But they do block their faces. So sometimes it's pixelated.
Okay.
Or sometimes they put like one of those cartoon sunglasses on
them. Stickers,
so,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, those stickers. So you don't exactly know who it is. Most times these people will respond to the posts themselves, so now everyone knows who they are. But the way,
because everybody wants a bit of fame, right?
Yeah. But some of them don't like it, but then the admin sort of comes back with his own logic and saying that these are rules.
It's her, actually.
Yeah. There are a couple of hims, there are a few hers.
Yeah.
There was this one picture of someone, she's sitting on the train, and then she has like a bunch of plastic bags beside her taking up like two seats.
Mm-hmm.
So they come back with a picture saying that the seats are not for plastic bags, they are for people, and you should keep the plastic bags on the ground.
Yeah.
So the idea behind the Annabelle doll then
is
to scare people into behaving and so they don't end up on the Facebook shade.
I think the Annabelle doll is just like a fun thing that they're doing. It might be tied into the studios. I don't know. It might be like a promotional thing. But they're sort of tied it up with the let's stop people from doing things that they're not supposed to do on the train.
Because it was only like shortly after the MRT was launched, there was, you know, it was vandalized.
Yeah.
This is why we can't have good things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the admin that they've had, I mean, he's super snarky. He's sarcastic, but he also gets to the point. And I think a lot of people like the way that it's going. A lot of people have actually started to follow RapidKL's Facebook page because of the way that he or she sounds.
Right.
And I think it's effective because you call people out when they do something bad. I mean, we have this, you know, vandalism problem 1 week after it was open, so all these stations go through all these problems. So it's time that they take like extreme measures like this.
I think they have to.
They have to, you know.
Yeah.
So they post these pictures up. I hope that more pictures like this show up until to a point where people don't want to do these things on the train anymore because they don't want to show up on RapidKL's Facebook page.
Right.
The wall of shame. And also, these kind of marketing campaigns do really work. Wendy's as well in the US.
Mm.
Their Twitter feed is amazing. Like very, very snarky comments, but like in a very nice kind of way because it makes you laugh with them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it garners a lot of attention. Like there was a whole thing about them roasting McDonald's as well.
I remember seeing that.
And it was really, really well done. So the fact that, you know, whoever the admin is behind the RapidKL page is taking that kind of humor on board and then also promoting, you know, a good MRT behavior is, I think it's really cool.
Right. I remember not too long ago, about a year or so ago, I posted, I had a jar of Marmite at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is about, you know, products responding on their Twitter and whatnot. And I got a tiny amount of Marmite left, and it was like this paltry amount that I took and spread on my toast, and it was literally just this tiny little smear in the top left-hand corner, right?
Mm-hmm.
I took a picture of it. I tagged Marmite and saying, look, you know, I'm in Malaysia, it's expensive, and I'm having trouble. And they tweeted me back, Marmite themselves, and said, it looks like a work of art. It should end up in one of the modern art galleries. We'll send you some free Marmite.
Nice. But,
you know, the very fact that people take the time, though, to go through and check on their products and respond to people like that, this is the kind of response that we need. You know, like you were saying, if we can, I don't agree with public shaming per se, but the Malaysians use Facebook so much, and they do it so often.
Yeah, aren't we like one of the highest in
something
the world?
Like third in the world,
yeah.
So this needs to be done, I think. And kudos to RapidKL.
Well done.
I mean, you know, they have this new social media thing. I think a bunch of companies are picking it up. If you look at the Star Online, their admin is super funny. Some of his captions are just gold. GSC has a new admin also, I think, Golden Screen Cinemas. He or she is also very funny. They have captions. And I think that this way of using social media for a more like personal touch works for these companies because otherwise you wouldn't follow Facebook pages of these corporate pages.
Right.
But hiring someone who is in touch with the memes and the way that people talk on social media is super important. And I think the thing that they are doing, this tactic of making people aware of what they're doing wrong on the trains needs to continue to a point where people just stop doing it and just learn about what they're doing wrong and right.
Yeah, it really makes the consumer feel like they're being listened to, which I think
is
really important.
It does.
We've also just had a WhatsApp message as well saying that there are posts on Facebook showing Annabelle appearing in and around Sunway Pyramid Shopping Center as well.
Oh.
Oh, okay. So it is.
Now
it
I
is,
can't go on there. I know I can't go there either.
Thanks for the message. That was number 9940 as a final number. Right.
Thanks for the warning.
Thanks for the warning indeed. Let's have some music. Coming up, it is Third Eye Blind with Losing a Whole Year, followed by The Undertones. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes when we're talking about a shop dedicated to introverts. Don't go anywhere. Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. We've got a story for you now regarding a convenience store ideal for introverts.
Yes.
Christine, tell me about this.
This is the greatest thing I've ever heard of. It's an automated convenience store on wheels in China called Bingo Box.
It's a cute name.
Bingo Box.
Bingo Box. Okay. Bingo Box is a small convenience store stocked with all the typical convenience store items. So snacks, candies, cold drinks, over-the-counter medicines. But the only employees who set foot in Bingo Box are the people who stock the shelves in the morning.
Oh. Mm.
For the rest of the day, the stores are locked and can only be accessed when customers download the Bingo Box app and scan a QR code via WeChat. Then it also provides name verification as well. So when you scan the QR code, it'll say welcome name, and then you
welcome
can go
Christine
in.
Ron yeah. to the Bingo Box.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Exactly.
I mean, yes,
like
precisely
exactly like
that.
That, I'm sure. But except in Chinese, of course.
Yes. And then after you've selected your items, you can actually pay via mobile using another QR code that you scan, and the store can actually detect if you're trying to steal something. They'll kind of scan all the items as you walk out of the store, and then if you've not paid for something, they will let you know. Or if the security cameras see that you're sneaking something to your pocket, it'll detect your face and kind of keep that on file
and then lock you inside the convenience store.
I don't know if the locking part, I mean, I did not understand all of the Chinese in the video, but who knows. There's also a 24/7 remote video customer support services just in case.
It says here, yeah, customers make payment via mobile and are prevented from leaving if the store detects that they're trying to steal.
Well, there we go.
Oh, this is the start of a horror movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's your own fault for stealing.
Right,
though,
yeah.
Surely.
You accidentally put one packet of chips back in your bag, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Accidentally.
Accidentally.
Yeah.
Accidentally, with quote marks. But I think it's really, really great. Just because watching the video as well, I mean, it all seems really clean and really nice, and it's really, really compact. I think there are two sizes of the Bingo Box as well, but I can't remember the dimensions for the life of me at the moment. But it's also on wheels. So what happens is if the store needs to be transported to a different location, the workers come and they open up the app on their phone, and the whole store just lifts up on its little wheels, and then they can push it anywhere they want.
So it's like a little mobile caravan as well.
Yeah. It is like truly. The whole concept is claimed to reduce theft, damage, and operation costs while increasing labor efficiency, because the only people you need to hire are the people who stock it in the morning, and then the people to kind of survey it from afar.
It's the ideal place to hang out in a zombie apocalypse.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because there's no money inside, so people, you know, you've got food literally on tap.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
You can move it around as and when you need to.
Yep.
There are things preventing you leaving.
Yep.
It's ideal.
Yep.
Yeah. Except it's transparent, so all the zombies would be able to see you.
That would be less fun, I guess, but yeah. Who knows, maybe they'll install some sort of night mode or something where you can create the window shutters.
Know, in all seriousness, I think it's a great idea. I mean, would it work here? Could we see these here?
Yeah, I mean, especially if it can lock you in.
Yeah.
especially if the safety is there, and then you can swipe in with an app, and then you need to leave within after you've paid for all your stuff.
Yeah.
Then why not? I don't think it.
What
you know.
But
actually,
haven't we? Sorry, carry on.
Yeah. No. What I'm interested in is because we covered recently that 7-Eleven closed in Indonesia, I believe, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So if the convenience store concept already it was not successful in those kinds of countries, would this take off? Do you know?
In Indonesia?
Yeah. Like, what do you think?
Possibly. I mean, the reason it closed down in Indonesia, though, was because the way in which they marketed it was with something else.
Yeah.
Right? This, I think, I could see it working in certain parts of Indonesia, mm-hmm. particularly like the vacation areas,
places
like that, mm-hmm. Because often the convenience stores close early, or they give you a bit of hassle when you want to buy a little one thing or another. Mm-hmm. But if you can go into this by yourself, not worry about anybody else being in there, not have to deal with a cashier who's been there for 14 hours and doesn't want to help you out, you can just pick up your own stuff. You know
exactly
the thing that we did yesterday as well about Booster. The petrol pumps that come to you.
Mm-hmm.
This is a kind of solution for them as well, you know. So you can have Booster coming around, filling your car with petrol, and then the Bingo Box following up behind just in case you need the snacks.
Yeah, if you ever wanted the literal definition of a convenience store, this is it.
It's a good idea.
Mm. So you have Booster and then you have the
bingo
convenience
box.
Store right beside it, and then Bingo Box's prices go slightly up when the, when the petrol pump is
smart.
Oh,
beside it.
There
no,
you go.
You know, I'm always impressed at how fast like things in China happens, like how fast they figure stuff out. I don't know if this is a new concept or if it's something that has been there and then they've sort of modernized it. But I mean, on one end you have like Amazon and they are like beta testing their self-checkout thing in Silicon Valley. Then like stuff gets wonky and they can't get it to work properly. And then on the other side you have like China just pops up with like a Bingo Box and it works fine.
Right.
Like
this
people
is one
just
of
tag
those
in,
things.
Tag out.
Yeah, people have been comparing this to the Amazon Go concept because I think Amazon wanted to create their own supermarket which works in a very similar fashion but isn't portable, I guess. So people have been already comparing it and saying that, oh, well, China's already done it now.
Yeah. So, I mean, if Amazon, imagine if they adopted this method. I mean, they could disrupt everything.
I mean, China really are pushing forward for this, you know, cashless economy. That's what's happening. You know, you're paying via WeChat. You're scanning in and out via WeChat. Everything is done via WeChat right now.
Yep.
It's crazy.
It's all virtual,
It's all virtual, right. Time for a quick break. Some music coming up. The Get Up Kids with Stay Gone, followed by Buddy Holly from Weezer here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Barcelona, Fiorentina, Manchester United. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It's almost time for us to wrap up for the afternoon. One more story before we go, though.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of things done in a way that's kind of sarcastic and salty on one thing or another, how many of you, both of you, do you use LinkedIn?
No.
Yeah.
No, you do, right?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
I've been using it for years, but I've kind of neglected using it for a while. Frida's reminded me every day, get on it.
Okay.
But this is an article from The Verge, and we were talking about how Rapid KL have come back and, you know, kind of verbally slapped people around a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So listen to this from The Verge, because it's about LinkedIn's latest millennial bait.
Uh-oh.
So I'm just going to read this and just you know. In its never-ending quest to connect you with other working professionals whom you will never again make contact with, LinkedIn's product team have released some real head-scratchers in its storied 14-year history. From the Microsoft-owned company's recent Facebook-style newsfeed implementation to the long-standing encouragement that complete and total strangers connect as a way to inflate one's social networking skills.
Mm.
LinkedIn has become this kind of bizarro social network that everyone outside of corporate recruiters feels compelled to use as sparingly as humanely possible. Or only with complete and unfailing irony. For fun, take a minute and endorse your friends with skills they don't have, like sports nutrition and military weapons handling. But anyway, they've kind of got this new... they want to be millennial and hip and, you know, millennial-loving stuff. So they've got this idea that they've announced this thing. It's a Tinder-style feature for pairing mentors with those looking for professional advice. So LinkedIn reportedly launched this feature in beta last month and has since brought it to its full version. So like Tinder, you can specify that certain criteria requirements must be met before you're paired with a potential mentor or mentee, including where a person falls in your network, like whether you're first, second, or degree, second connection, and other factors to narrow down the list to a potential list of suitable life hack-loving thinkfluencers. From there, you're able to pair up and start chatting, right? So... This is what is LinkedIn doing, right? LinkedIn was that last bastion of let's not mess things up, let's not become a Facebook, let's not do so, let's connect working professionals together and keep it, you know.
I'll say it once, I'll say it again. Companies have got to stop doing things that are meant to cater to millennials, okay?
Right.
We're just people. We just like things that work. We don't need all the fancy schmancy Tinder-esque looking for a mentor. We don't need any of it.
But now it means almost like LinkedIn's new tagline could be, let's meet up and synergize.
No!
Yeah. Oh.
No!
Oh, that word.
The fact that the word thinkfluencers exists makes me
That's the
really
word of the day.
Angry.
We're having that for the word of the day, by the way.
Yeah.
Thinkfluencers. I don't like this idea. I think LinkedIn should stick with what they are and what they do well.
Yeah.
I've never used LinkedIn. I've never had the need to. I've never actually like explored it. But for someone who has used LinkedIn, how would you pitch it to me like in 10 seconds?
What, LinkedIn?
LinkedIn, yeah.
It's a social network that removes all of the rubbish from your feed and allows you to connect to working professionals in your field or if not, a similar field. So you connect via other people. You get recommendations to connect.
Yeah.
Okay, but why?
It can help you look for jobs. Uh-huh. It can help you get people in for potential interviews, people who work in a similar field or something like that.
Yeah. I use it as a kind of a social network of CVs in a way.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I use it for. And I'm pretty up to date with updating my LinkedIn just because I see it as another platform where, you know, people can find me. And I, the way I look at it is Facebook is Facebook and it's my personal life. Twitter is like my kind of stream of consciousness thoughts, and LinkedIn is the professional stuff.
Correct.
Adding this weird like chat Tinder-esque thing really takes away, I think, a lot of the appeal of LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is meant to be clean and easy to use
and professional,
but this doesn't feel professional.
Yeah, see, that's exactly why I asked you to pitch it, because I've never used it, but the way you said it is that it's sort of like mean, lean, to the point professional network, and it's meant to be that, right? This is like one of those things where someone doesn't understand how something works, and then they just want to take it because it works for another app.
Correct.
You know? It's when like companies try to replicate lip sync battle.
Oh right,
because it's cool. You know, it's the fun thing to do. Yeah. That swipe thing works for Tinder because it's a completely different app.
Tinder. Yeah.
It's Tinder. Yeah, it's not supposed to work for like mentorship or whatever they're trying to do.
It's like it's really similar to another story that we covered that was a Skype. Mimicking a lot of the features on Snapchat as well, where it's like that's not what your app is used for. Your app is used for one thing. Snapchat is used for another thing. You can't mix the two together and expect it to work.
Yeah.
Big thumbs down then, yeah?
No.
Big thumbs down. Let's not meet up and synergize then.
Let's not say synergize.
I like it.
No!
I hate the word. I love it in that context. Right. Very quickly, we'll run through the stories that we've covered today, and then we'll tell you what podcast you should be listening to. First up, I spoke about a helmet that resembles something that Boba Fett would wear, protects you from gunshots.
Yeah, very cool looking helmet.
Yep, and then I talked about the stupidest smart salt shaker.
Ever.
And then we spoke about how Rapid KL is putting Annabelle dolls in its stations.
Yeah. All right.
And then we talked about an automated convenience store on wheels, which are perfect for introverts.
And then I got a story from The Verge. LinkedIn's latest millennial bait is a Tinder-style mentorship service. Again, let's meet up and synergize. All right. Quickly, we're going to bring Jeff Sandu into the studio. I know he wants to talk about a podcast you should listen to. Jeff.
Hello. So yesterday I had a chat with two individuals who are actually keynote speakers for this upcoming Python conference, Asia, PyCon APAC. You can go and check it out. I think it's happening later on in August. The two keynote speakers, one of them is Jessica McKellar. She's a software engineer in the US, and her story is that she teaches inmates in the St. Quentin prison in California on how to code. And it's giving them a second chance in life. And that prison is notoriously known for the highest number of male death rows sentences. So some of these people would never be able to get out of prison. And what they're doing inside, and bear in mind, there is no internet connection in prison. There is no high speed computers and stuff. It's basic. Even our primary schools are probably much more, you know, equipped than this kind of prisons. And she's going there and teaching them how to code. And, you know, I was just asking about, you know, how does she feel in terms of the morale itself when you're teaching someone who's probably murdered a person before and giving him a new sense of life. And it's a very interesting story. And then I also spoke to Luis Sanchez. He used to work for the Lehman Brothers, especially during the time when they crashed. And he was a quantitative analyst, which is now like a fancy term, which is a chief data scientist.
Right.
So back then, it was called as a quantitative analyst. And he spoke about how Python language was at the core, and he sort of saw where Lehman Brothers is going to fall into. And yeah, go and check out our podcast. It's just Changing the World with Python. It's part one with Jessica McKellar. Part two is with Luis Sanchez.
Very quickly, Arvin, I know you did another Five for Fortune. What was it this week?
Jobs that will disappear by the year 2030.
So, quick example?
Yeah, just like cashiers. We were talking about there's things like Bingo Box. They don't need cashiers anymore. So jobs like cashiers that won't exist anymore in the next 13, 15 years.
All right. Yeah. Right. That's all to listen to over the weekend. Have a lovely weekend, folks. But before we do that, coming up after the 1 o'clock news, we have
Sharil Hamdan, a youth EXCO member from UMNO, and Nick Ahmad, a youth chief from PKR, two youth leaders from both sides of the political divide. They talk about what the current political issues affecting the youth in this country are. Is there a gap between politicians from the older generation and the younger breed of leaders? So stay tuned to learn more.
If you did indeed miss that, have a listen to it. And of course, if you missed any part of this show, you can head over to the website bfm.my, download the podcast, or you can get our app from the App Store or Google Play. And of course, we are CarPlay enabled. Mm. Right then, ladies and gentlemen, have yourselves a wonderful weekend. We will be back, of course, on Monday in the same time at the same place from here in our wonderful studios in Bandar Atama. I've been Richard Bradbury, and on behalf of Arvind Uvaraj, Christine Wong, and of course Jeff Sandhu, have a lovely weekend. You have been listening to BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.